do.
So you wanted to talk about fundamental about what Zelda or the Zelda
about music? The 8-bit music, right? They didn't have a lot to work with, right? But they managed to create some really amazing tunes that still sort of stick with it. Now, part of it is because, well, they had to repeat those tunes over and over and over again. They didn't have any space. Mm-hmm. So your parents got really fucking annoyed when they heard, because the same song, you know, the same, it would, to you, it was just music in the background. But to them...
Have you played Zelda recently?
No.
I did. I started playing Zelda a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And the original NES 8-bit version of it. And... Yeah, the music is really fucking repetitive.
Yeah, it's the same thing for about a minute long, maybe less, over and over and over again. So if you're not playing, if you're not into the game, that's all you do is you hear that. And punctuated with a little whatever sounds, but you just hear that same thing over and over and over again. It must have driven my parents crazy. I don't care. What's interesting to me is that they were able to pull such really cool melodies out of this really, really terrible synthesizer. I mean, it wasn't quite Atari level, but it was bad. You know, they got better when they were able to do more MIDI stuff.
Hey, look at Super Mario 3. I mean, that was still 8-bit.
Yeah.
And there's some, I mean, it's real, it's... I won't say really deep music, but I mean compared to
they learned how to use the system better. Yeah. They learned how to take what was there and pull more out of it. And anytime you use something, anyone who's worked with something for a while knows that they learn pretty quickly. Well, not quickly, but you learn after using things for a while. You can do things that were not quite in the manual. You can stress things a little bit beyond what they were meant to do, and you can sometimes pull cool things out of that. And I think that's exactly what they learned to do with the NES chips.
Okay, so here we go. What is the best NES soundtrack, right?
The best NES soundtrack. That's a tough one.
So here, there's a couple top 10, top 50 lists on the internet here. Let's see what they say. I'm not going to go through the whole 10, maybe the top 2 or 3. Okay, so this one is top 10. Gotta go to page 2.
I gotta think Zeldas are up there. One of the Zeldas. And probably one of the Super Mario Brothers up there. Just because they're so...
See, they put Super Mario as number one.
Oh, Castlevania. There you go. That's a good one. Yeah.
They put Super Mario Brothers as number one. It's a good
song.
It's
iconic. But that's the thing. But is it the best?
It's not the best.
No.
Mario 3...
It has better tunes.
There's an homage to Mario Brothers.
Right.
And they really... I mean, that's some of the... I don't know Castlevania. I'll have to go listen to it.
Castlevania has some really good...
But, I mean, it's amazing how much they did in Super Mario 3.
For its time, yeah.
The number 3 one they put on the list is...
Zelda.
Yeah. And Contra.
These are
going with iconic. These aren't going with best.
Yes. Agreed. Yeah, they should not label it best, but you know it's the internet. They're gonna. If you made a list of iconic stuff, not nearly as many people are gonna look at it as best. It doesn't generate as many views. Doesn't generate as many arguments.
Hate.
Yes, that's the internet is about. It's about stroking whatever that is that makes us combative.
Okay, so this other list is different.
And stroking whatever that is that makes us happy.
So, this other list, the top 50,
mm-hmm.
they put Mega Man 2, Dr. Wily's Castle.
That's a good one.
Number 2 is Little Nemo, Dream Master.
I don't think I've ever played that.
They actually have chapters. So, Dr. Wily's Castle, number 1, is the best part of Mega Man.
Mega Man 2 had great music in it. I remember that.
DuckTales, number
3. DuckTales had really good music. I loved that game. I remember the space level was awesome. Yeah, it had really, I mean, well, to my 8-year-old, or I know I was 12 or 13 at the time, to my brain, that was like, wow, this is awesome. So, yeah, I'm not
disputing. The training for Punch-Out. Kind of a Rocky ripoff? Yeah.
Where the guy's riding a bike and you're just running behind
him. Yeah. I'm surprised. I mean, I'm surprised this list didn't have. I don't. A lot of these games I'm not intimate with, but I'm surprised that.
What was that one that numbered? What was up 13?
Oh, you want top 10 or
no? 13 is number 13. 13. Was that Blaster Master? Because I seem to remember that having really good music.
Yeah, Blaster Master.
Yeah.
Area 1.
Yeah, yeah. It pulled you in. It pulled you in.
Some of these, if you want to...
Blaster Master was a really cool concept for a game. I mean, the concept of the game is silly. Your frog runs away and you have to chase after it. But you... There are like three distinct different ways you could play. You be just yourself and you're... And, like a little kid and you're very vulnerable, but then you get into this like tank thing that you just find as you're chasing your frog. You find this alien tank thing and you go around and it's sort of side levels and you shoot, and then you go into different dungeons and they're sort of top level like Zelda and you shoot.
Okay.
With that. So like combining different games.
So it's like 2D and then top level or?
Yeah, it was just combining different game types into one altogether. The game was hard. It was a very unique and interesting game. I think it paved the way for a lot of stuff. I mean, one of those games that just tried to do a whole lot and was pretty successful at it for its time. Blaster Master. NES game. Recommend it. Thoughts?
I'm done with the music.
Okay.
I'll have to check out Blaster Master. I haven't played it.
So I have a family member who is contemplating attempting to do pregnancy stuff. Getting pregnant. Okay. They want to get pregnant. But she is she's actually been trying for a little bit of time. And she is now going to try acupuncture therapy. And I tried to, in the nicest way possible, without being a real dick about it, sort of do what I can to maybe put some doubt in her mind about it. I don't know. Because I think it's nonsense. She was telling me about how she thought that it could raise the temperature in the uterus area, that that could help. And I was just saying, I mean, I think acupuncture is a neat trick, right? You do these little really hair thin needles, and you put them in spots where that have been where you. Where because they're so thin, and because you're kind of far away from the pain nerves, they don't hit your pain receptors. And then they pull back, and you feel a little bit weird and interesting, and kind of, it almost feels like a rush of energy around that area. And you feel like something different, and that's really cool. What is that? Because there are endorphins that are being released, and your body is starting to repair that area. Normally, you don't feel that because normally... pain that you feel mm-hmm. totally overrides that feeling. Mm-hmm. So you just, you feel something different. You feel a little tingly. And since you feel something different, it's really easy for them to then associate that with anything that happens. So you have people who go to an acupuncturist for some sort of ailment, whatever. Let's say you had three people went to the acupuncturist who said that their ailment was cured. And two people went to the acupuncturist who said their ailment wasn't cured. Well, statistically, that's no better than chance. That's what you would expect. And what do acupuncturists do? Well, they do one of two things. If they're going down the sort of hokey religion route, they will say, well, you just didn't believe enough in it. But the people who are professional acupuncturists do the more honest thing, and that's just they don't mention the people who didn't heal. They just mention the people who did.
Right.
So, I don't know. Is that more honest? Well, it's at least... you're just not acknowledging the people who didn't, as opposed to saying that they needed to believe harder in it. You know, my problem, and I was trying to explain, because I wanted to get really into why I felt it was wrong. Why I felt that it was not useful, and it was not that I didn't think that there was absolutely any way it could work. I don't see a mechanism how it could work, but and I've read plenty of studies that say that it doesn't work. But by doesn't work, what these studies are saying, and I tried to explain this as best I can, is that they're saying that there's no statistically significant deviation from the mean by using acupuncture. Mm-hmm. Or, in other words, there's no statistically significant difference between using acupuncture and not using acupuncture and the null hypothesis of not using it. You can't demonstrate that there's any statistically, that it's anything better than chance. This doesn't mean that acupuncture doesn't work. It just means that there's no evidence that it works. No good evidence that it works. It also doesn't mean that acupuncture absolutely doesn't work. There could be the one in 3.7 billion people that it actually does work on. Mm-hmm. Statistically, you wouldn't be able to find that.
Right.
So, you know, I can't say it doesn't work, but I can say with relative certainty that a large enough population is not going to do anything. So
odds are it's not going to help your
odds are it's not going to help. Then again, I also recognize that she's putting a lot of faith in this, and that means that there's going to be a bit of a placebo effect going mm-hmm. on. And if she really does want to do that, and she wants to spend the money on it, the placebo effect can be very powerful. And I can't discount, I mean, that's absolutely something that's there. And
I know, but how's that different than Eternal Earthbound Pets?
I just didn't want
to, because that could be a placebo effect.
I can talk to you directly about these things. I couldn't really talk to her on that level about
right,
it.
No, but I mean, no, I'm taking this a step further off, right?
Yeah.
Because we've talked a couple times the past couple weeks about the placebo effect.
Yes.
Right, and how that's effectiveness. So, and we're talking about Eternal Earthbound Pets, I'm still exploring this idea, so it might fall off the cliff in three seconds. But Eternal Earthbound Pets, you thought was a scam taking advantage of vulnerable people.
Yes.
Right? But couldn't there be a placebo effect involved?
There could be, but I'm not an acupuncturist. And I wouldn't be an acupuncturist because I don't believe it works.
Okay.
So I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't subject people to just the placebo effect, knowing what I know. Now, there are acupuncturists who just totally believe it works. There are acupuncturists who simply ignore the data and who fake it. There's evidence from large studies that it doesn't matter where you put the needles. It doesn't matter where you put them in the chi points or not. People get the same effect.
Mm-hmm.
So that indicates that either it's sticking needles in you, regardless of where it is, or is just plain old placebo. And, but I also said, you know, there is the nocebo effect. You have to take that into consideration too. When somebody is thinking that something won't work, it's more likely that it won't work. Mm-hmm. For me, the Percocets work for my back, right? If I really thought they didn't work, then it's possible, even with their effectiveness, I would still feel back pain and still think they wouldn't work. That's the nocebo effect.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I have to say at some point, you know, you run your life, you do it what you want. I'm giving you the best information I can, but I'm not telling you not to do it. I'm telling you this is the information I have. This is the best way I can point you. You have to follow your own, and more than likely you'll find that following your own direction is going to be right, because there's confirmation bias and all the other things. So, you know, more than likely she's not going to listen to me. I don't want to make it into a huge issue.
Talking about this whole placebo thing, you know, and how skeptical or cynical maybe that we are, that I am. Maybe life would be, you know, this whole ignorance is bliss thing, right? Like the whole drinking your sunscreen. Like
I do believe that to an extent ignorance is bliss. I don't care. I want to know as many true things as possible. If that means I know things that are horrible, then I know things that are horrible. But at least I have a decent idea that these things are true. That's what propels me in my study of things and my attempt to acquire knowledge. Not to be pleased by what happens, but just mm-hmm. to know.
Right.
I don't know what that compulsion is. I don't know why I have it, but I do.
Right. Amazon Anonymous?
Amazon Anonymous.
Well, you're pulling it up. I was already looking here, so I have an item.
All right.
If I can find
it again.
Here we go. It's a brand new MTN Gearsmith 16-inch aluminum, brand new as part of the brand name.
Mm-hmm.
Brand new MTN Gearsmith 16-inch aluminum tube jerky gun with 3 free nozzles.
Jerky gun?
Jerky gun. It only gets 2.5 stars out of 7 customer reviews. It is $27.95 plus $8.25 for shipping. Yikes.
Do you shoot jerky at it or do you make jerky with it?
You put your pureed meat into it, and it's a caulking gun that... It's kind of like, you know, when you do...
You spread... It's like...
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's...
It's like when you're doing the whole cake decorating thing, those kinds of nozzles,
okay,
but in a caulking gun that's filled with meat.
Okay.
So you can make your jerky...
So is that how... I mean, because, like, I've seen jerky being made, like, on Good Eats and stuff, and it slices.
Well, this but is... this is a jerky extruder.
Right.
A meat extruder.
Yeah.
Is what this is.
That's probably how most jerkies are made, right? They're not...
Yeah.
They're turned into a conglomerate of meats and...
Yep. Brand new commercial heavy-duty 16-inch aluminum tube jerky gun. The jerky pistol has a heavy-duty gauge.
It doesn't look like a pistol. It looks more like a rifle to me, but and it could be long. It could just be the way it looks.
It's like a sawed-off shotgun, man.
Yeah, okay. But again, not a pistol.
Yep. 3 jerky nozzles. We have a round nozzle. We have a flat nozzle. And what is this third nozzle? It's a flat nozzle that's not as wide. So why are the reviews so bad for the jerky gun? That's what I want to know. It has 2 5 stars, 1 4 star, 3 1 stars. Poorly constructed, thin-walled aluminum tube that could easily be dented with cheap nylon sleeves pressed into the ends. One end, the end holding the tip, actually slid off the tube while pressing my first batch of jerky. Also, the plunger allowed me to get behind it in a poor quality.
Wait.
I think it would be a great gun. Good design if only constructed with better quality materials.
Why don't you cry about it?
I returned this piece of junk and got burnt on paying shipping twice for this item. The search continues for a good gun. This isn't it. Save your money! Exclamation point! Exclamation point!
If you need a good gun, I wouldn't suggest you go with the jerky kind. Oh, that's me being silly. I'm going to pick an item that I've actually bought. This is not... I didn't buy this. Somebody else bought this, but it's an item that I have bought before and I have had very good success with. Somebody bought a pound of dice.
That's my coworker.
Oh, really?
That's the picture I tried to send you on Google Plus.
Oh, yeah. Great. So, yeah, this is it's basically it's 10 versions of, you know, 10 pack of dice and all just thrown together. It's just 7. There's 7 die. So it's just they give you like 100 something die. And but they're all the same type. So you get one of each of the 7 types. They don't mix and match. They throw out 7.
They gave him, so like here they show you, they give you one complete set of matched colors, and they're in a little bag, right? These blue ones off to the left here in the picture. And then it's just kind of a...
Oh, that's not what I got.
Even though. Distribution
no, I got
of
this.
Other random-y things.
I think I got this.
Okay. Yeah, pound of dice seemed like it was...
Is a random...
It was one set... It wasn't random, right? It wasn't like you get what you get, but it was a random-y distribution of various dice and
everything
colors.
That I got was in sets. So even though it was a different collection, there was none that was out of set. So I had a set for one, had a set for another, set for another. Even though they weren't the best dice, you know, some of them were just solid colors. They were all... I had all 7 of each. So it was probably this one, this 100-plus pack of random polyhedral dice.
Maybe the sets are in there. He didn't think they were because one complete set came packaged away from the other ones, right?
Ah, yes. No, this is what I got. I got this one, which is in the things other people bought. Mm-hmm. And this looks almost exactly like what I got. Surprisingly enough, these are the colors I got. I got that sort of clear one with the gold. I got that definitely the solid blue one. The one that's a little bit smoky. The one that's smoky green. Mm-hmm. These are exactly the colors I got. Solid black. That's it. This is what you see is what you get with this one.
The pound of dice gets 4.5 stars. It's $20.49 with free shipping. Your order's over $35.
They also point out in this one that they don't take seconds like this. They say, this is what you give. We don't give you these that are sort of like...
So screens are off.
Yeah. The screens are off. They maybe have been badly cut.
Right.
Whiz dice. Recommend that for anybody who's looking for a bunch of crazy dice for their dumb games. Look, I'm happy calling D&D a dumb game, but I think poker's a dumb game too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fun to play.
Sure is.
And like poker, D&D requires a bit of skill and a bit of luck.
I was going to... I don't want to argue about this because I don't have any D&D experience, so I don't know. But I would... You know, a layman like me would argue that the rules are more firm in something like poker where the outcome is more flexible in D&D, right? You talked about not killing off a guy and...
It depends on who your DM is.
Mm-hmm.
Nick will kill a guy. I will kill a guy... But I won't kill a guy in the first or second.
Only if they're fucking asking
game.
For it.
Yeah, and then they're asking for it. It's gotten far enough in the game, I would kill somebody if things got to that point. Particularly if they played stupid. If I felt they were playing stupid as a DM. Like they were just being goofy. Or they just weren't like... They weren't paying attention. I might not adjust things if things went badly for them, but I wouldn't make things hurt them. Mm-hmm. But I might have adjusted something. To give an example, they're going by. They did one of my dungeons this Friday, and it went pretty well. I think it worked out really well. But I kind of. More than subtly recommended to them that they rest before they get to the final fight. If they weren't being really cool about it, I may have not given them that advice and just said, all right, you're going in. Having them rest for the final fight, gave them their health back, gave them their spells and stuff back, so they had much more abilities to use, mm-hmm. and it made the final fight actually kind of trivial as opposed to... I mean, but the fight before it was... probably a harder fight anyway, but still it would have been really tough, and they could have conceivably died, but probably would have at least been hurt significantly. One of them may have been knocked unconscious and maybe been dying but not dead. There's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just go by the dice, like in poker you just go by the cards, there's a little bit of wiggle room with the DM. If you just go by the dice, D&D could be very much... It doesn't matter what you do. I mean, you can find ways to mitigate one bad roll or two bad rolls, but if you just keep doing bad roll after bad roll, you are fucked.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, if there's... You know, your luck plays a role in it. Luck absolutely plays a role in D&D. If someone were just consistently getting bad rolls, even if I was being really nice, and they just kept rolling ones and twos and ones and ones and ones, I would kind of have to kill him. I would just have to do that. There's no way that you can go through, you know, an adventure just fucking up at every turn.
Oh, I was sitting here looking at this green bottle for tumor pills. Yeah. Pilsner Co. Brown bottles now.
Good on them. It's about time. I don't think there's a stigma against brown bottles anymore.
No, I don't think so.
So, and I don't know if there's much of a selling point for a green bottle that doesn't have a name.
There's a fair amount of people out there that think green imports are premium.
I think it's much less than it used to. It has to be, right?
I don't know, but it has to be. I mean, look at Heineken. As long as Heineken is Heineken, there's going to be this prestigious green import prestige thing.
figure. Can't really argue with that. You got a point there. As long as Heineken stays popular, it's going to influence those that are sort of on its heels or doing similar things to it. Yeah, no, I can't argue with that. That's true.
Because I'm right, damn it. Okay.
You are right.
All right, so...
You're right.
Well, that was Amazon Anonymous. Mm-hmm. Dice and Jerky Guns.
Dice and Jerky Guns, my favorite combination. It's almost like you're doing a roll of the dice when you do Amazon, because you don't know exactly what you're going to get, unless it's like you've already bought before.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost like a jerky gun when you get it from Amazon because it's extruded to your house. Oh, that was really stretching the metaphor.
That was really fucking bad.
I was stretching the metaphor as far as I can possibly take it.
Too far. Bring it on back. So, what else is going on? Anything?
Work is fun, I guess. Good. Well, I mean, fun is not the right word for it. I don't enjoy work like you enjoy work. We're different people, but I don't have that kind of. I know. I call it, though I don't know this is exactly what it is, but I've termed it Protestant work ethic, but I don't know what it is that people really have a desire, not just to do work and to do well at work. I have that desire too, but to make that work sort of a real part of their life, a real significant part of what they enjoy about life itself. To me, work is just, it's something I got to do. I will work hard on it. I will do what I have to do. I will do the best I can at it. But when I'm out of there, I am out of there. I don't think about it. Well, sometimes I think about it. Sometimes if I'm having a hard problem, I'll bring it home. I'll sleep on it. But once I'm out of there and I don't have something to think about, it's not on my mind. I don't think about work in that way. I don't know if I ever would doing the stuff that I do for work right now, for doing computer stuff. I don't think I can ever get into it as much as I see other people get into it. It's such a mind drain. It is such a, it's an artistic endeavor what I'm doing. It really is, because it's not riveting something, right? I mean, you're creating something, and you have to figure out how to do it right. There's a lot of mind strain that goes on. It's really hard, and I just get exhausted doing it, and I just get out of there and like, oh, finally.
Yeah, I like what I do. Like, maybe I would like something like being a research scientist better, but I don't dislike or just merely tolerate what I do enough to make that kind of change, right? Where maybe if you had a job where you were a theoretical physicist or something like that, right? Then you would be riveted to it.
I certainly would probably take it home with me a lot more often. I certainly would think, I mean, this is stuff I think about normally, so doing that as my work, but I don't know if I would then get sort of just pissed that I have to do that all the time. I don't know.
Well, see, I mean,
being a theoretical physicist is less of an on-the-clock job, though.
Getting paid for the stuff you love to do. Right? I mean, that's where I'm at. I get paid to do the stuff I love to do.
Do you enjoy doing the stuff you love to do as much when you're paid for it, when it's a job?
Yeah, I mean, so if certainly there's things I like more, right? Like the beer, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, computer work, the stuff I do is pretty close to that, right? And so, I'm thrilled that I have the job I have, right? So I
sure,
and it's not just,
well, I'm very happy with the job I have too. I'm not trying to denigrate the job. The job is great, the people are great, the environment's great, I'm really happy there. It's just that there's, I'm not happy doing this. It's not about me being happy. It's about me doing something I need to do to get money. It's not something that I would choose to do if I had unlimited options. And, you know, I think that's fine. It's also something that I'm, you know, I am constantly working at. So it's constantly hard, but it's something that I don't think is all that fundamentally all that difficult. I think pretty much anyone can do it if they just learn enough about how logical structures work. It's really not that hard what I do, but it pays a lot, and I kind of fell into it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a reason I can go from language to language, because they're all the same.
Right. I mean, it's hard to say, right? Because when you phrase it a certain way, like, you know, unlimited options or whatnot, sure, I would do something that is pure play, like beer,
uh-huh.
right? As opposed to something that is fun work.
I mean, I got to think that if Craft Beer Radio was our job, we'd get a little sick of it. There's no question in my mind. Once you have a job, I think that you're kind of it almost puts you in a weird combative sense to it, that you're...
I have a different point of view. I mean,
okay.
Find a job that is your hobby, right? Find a job that something you love to do. And for me...
But the great thing about your hobby is that you only do that when you want to. The thing about your job is you have to do...
Okay, find a job that's your passion then. Something you want to do all the time.
Even then, you only do it when you want to.
But if you find the right one, you want to do it.
I don't buy that. I don't. All the time. I do not. If that exists for people, I don't understand that at all. The idea that you're stuck to a schedule of doing something, there, but it's something that you really like doing. So therefore, it should be A-okay and perfectly fine with you. No, once they put you on a schedule, once you are forced to do something, I mean, the great thing about hobbies and other things is you can do them or not do them at your leisure. You're never forced to do your hobbies. You are forced to work. That's
all right.
That's me talking.
Okay. I think that there's... You know, that I'm lucky enough to have found a job where it is, I don't know if passion's the right word, but I really have fun doing the kinds of things I do that it often does not feel like work.
That's not to say, again...
I haven't used this phrase in quite a while. Probably since the Nauticom days, maybe once or twice, but, you know, I feel like they're paying me to play on computers.
Okay. I mean, this is not to say that I don't get enjoyment out of my job. Certainly when I solve a problem or when I think I did something really well, get an endorphin rush. When I get to do something I really like to do, like, you know, now I know the system okay. And there are people in the office that are just going over from the old system to the new system and trying to learn it. And so I'm going around teaching them things, and I do like teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives me a bit of a, you know, adrenaline, endorphin boost, whatever. So I enjoy doing that. It's not that there aren't things that I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that you will do this between these hours for this long and register this time code and all this other stuff. Maybe it's all the other stuff that comes around doing the job. Maybe it's all the other mechanistic stuff, all the other just, what am I thinking, the structure that's put around your job that makes me rebel against it, or makes it not rebel, it makes me feel claustrophobic when I'm in it.
Mm-hmm. Maybe... I don't punch a clock in or time codes or anything like that, right? It's... I do what needs to be... I mean, so there are things. There's
times, I'm a salary employee. I don't punch a clock, but they do require right. me to register the time I have and to make sure the time hits a certain amount. They're okay with a little wiggle room. You know, if you spent 50 minutes on this, you can put an hour in, so it's okay.
I mean, I'm not saying I never get burned out. right? I mean, yeah. After
and there's also, by the way, there's also periods you can say I just did training or whatever.
After this Colo move and with my vacation coming up next week, you know, I am sitting there thinking about going camping, mm-hmm. you know, going to the beach, right? That kind of thing. You know, so it's not like I never get burned out, you know. It's vacation time. Everyone needs vacations.
Yes.
But yeah, it's for me it's I'm getting paid to play almost all the time. And you really can't argue with that.
I think that there might be something to the idea that it's all the structure around it. I mean, yeah, like I said, I have to fill in my time. That's not that bad. I wish I didn't, but you know, I'm not that. They're billing customers for my time, so I understand that. I have to, but I have to be there at core hours. You know, I can't just walk in at 10 or 11, and you know, and get out of there at 8. I have to be there. I have to be in the office between 9:30 and 4:30. So there's a structure that's enforced upon it. I'm not complaining about it. I understand why it's there. I understand why, you know, it's enforced rigidly. Those things make it harder for me to enjoy the stuff. Make it harder for me to see it as something that's not separate from what I normally do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's I guess that's the way I can explain it. You happy now?
No.
More fisticuffsmanship?
No.
Damn. Willing to fight.
All right. I think that's about it.
Yep. It's, we spent enough time for a Tuesday night.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.